You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Watch this. Over here in Philippians chapter 4, Paul says something as he closes this great letter, a letter given to those who really support him, who have helped him by sending him financial support. And he says here in Philippians chapter 4, as he's closing, verse 6, be careful for nothing. And that word careful means anxious or worried. Don't worry. Don't worry. Listen carefully. This will encourage you. You are exactly where God needs you to be. And what you are going through is exactly what he ordains you to go through. So don't fight it. Listen carefully. When the storm came the first time, Jesus was on the boat asleep. Why? Because he trusted God. He knew that his hour had not yet come. So he went to sleep in the middle of a storm. Now, you and I, we are not like Jesus in the sense that we don't know when our hour is coming. But we should still live a life without fear. Because God is in control of the storm. Now, here's why we don't see it. In Proverbs 3, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Where do you think he's going to direct you? In his will. He will never direct you outside of his will. So if he's directing you in his will, he has already factored in problem situations. So when it comes, if you have asked him for direction and he begins to guide you down that road, if you've asked him, then whatever comes your way, listen to Paul, he says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Nowhere does it say like it. Nowhere does it say understand it. Nowhere are we taught to enjoy it. He says, you are with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Notice how he writes it. Don't be anxious about anything, but instead pray about everything. But don't pray to get out of it. Because if God wanted you out of it, he would not have put you in it. So join the party. Don't fight God. Join God. You're in it now. So that should tell you he wanted me in it. Okay? So now what do I pray? He said, pray. He said, you should pray and then make supplication and include thanksgiving. So what do you do? Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this? Teach me how to wait. Now, here's what we do. They come over to you and they say, okay, we're cutting back. The economy's not as good as we'd like. Business is not as good as we'd like. We're going to cut back. So, unfortunately, we have to let half of your department go, and you don't make the cut because you don't have enough seniority. Now, God knew that. And if you really look at your life, he did warn you. If you really look at your life, that's another sermon. He did warn you. But like so many of us, we ignore the warnings and we go with the immediate blessing. If you look back in your life and you see that maybe two or three times God gave you a significant financial windfall, he does that because he knows you're going to have a shortcoming coming up soon. That's in line with Genesis, Joseph, and Pharaoh. You get those seven fat cows followed by the seven skinny cows. So what do? You prepare for the years of lean. But we don't do that. because we've been trained by the culture to take the blessings and apply them to now rather than put them aside for the inevitable lean years. God is not going to sustain you where you are. There are seasons and cycles in your life. You have moments when you're up here, then you have moments when you're down there. So that's why you have to learn how to process things. That's what waiting is all about. He's teaching you how to process things. Look at people's lives. Please understand that our government cannot sustain the growth that they had 3 or 4 years ago. First of all, it violates scripture. The Bible says the wicked and the nations that forget God will be turned into hell. If God does not judge America, he's going to have to bring back Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize. If he does not judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Egypt, to Rome, to Greece, and all those nations he destroyed. Because America is doing exactly the same thing as those other nations. And the prophet said, the wicked and the nations that forget God will be turned into hell. But here's what we do. We join ourselves to an economy that's about to fall. Amen. Then we go to God and say, help me. And he says, well, why didn't you divorce yourself when I had the man of God or the woman of God teach you to do it? Because you believed in prosperity. But not my prosperity. You believed in the prosperity of the wicked. That's why we go around quoting, God said the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, because we want God to drop money on us. Now, God dropped manna and quail, but never money. So your waiting is in vain. Now, if you need some manna or quail, you can go ask him. But we're going around waiting for God to drop us money. But that's not his principle. We don't know how to wait for the plan of God to come to fruition, because no one teaches us. And the reason we aren't taught is because we don't wait to learn it. They that wait get stronger. Listen to what Paul says. He says, when you are praying with supplication. Supplication, it would be our term for a list. To supplicate means to be specific in request. Prayer is worshipful oratory. Prayer is not asking God for anything. Prayer is fellowshipping. You remember when you were dating and you called up your significant other and you didn't talk about anything, but you just talked? You talked about what you do today. You know, I missed you today. I thought about you today. Then you giggle a little bit. Then you know, I just wanted to call and see how you were doing and what you're doing now and what you're eating. Who, me? I'm just eating some potato chips. I'm drinking a soda. Oh, what are you doing? Well, I'm just sitting down having a pickle. That's prayer. Prayer is just talking, but it's worshipful. It's, Lord God, I worship you. I magnify you. You are just the greatest person in my life. Without you, I can do nothing. Oh, God, you are super. You are great. There is nothing that you cannot do. I have found that my time with you is extremely significant, and I just want to sit in your presence. God, what did you do today? How did you do today? Just talking to him. But then supplication is when you get down to, Lord, I need this, I need that, I need the other. But by the time you've had significant prayer, your supplication list is lower. Because in the prayer time, God shows you how big he is, and then you don't even want that stuff anymore, because he has convinced you that I'm in charge and I'm handling stuff. And what you think you want, you really don't need, because I didn't give it to you, because I know best for you. Hallelujah. See, that's why people who pray don't get upset when they don't get what they want, because they realize suddenly that they have what they need. And I'm all right. See, when you realize that you're all right, say it's all right. It's all right. All right. It's all right. It's all right. Have a good time. Watch this now. So Paul goes on. He says, once this is done, verse 7, the peace of God. See here? Those that wait on the Lord, those that talk with him in prayer, those that bring those concerns to him. Here's what he says, the peace of God. This is the Greek word here is the word eirene. And it speaks the same way as shalom. Shalom is not only peace, but it's healing, it's wealth, it's all the good things that come from God. Irene speaks to that, but it doesn't include wealth and all the other things. But what it's saying is that when you have the irene of God, there is no frustration in you. For a person to walk in peace, that is the most blessed place to be. You are walking in total patience. You have no anxiety because you know God is in control. You are not waiting on man. You're waiting on God. Everybody else is trying to push you to get somebody, but God is the one that you're waiting on. You wait on God. It doesn't say they that wait on the pastor get stronger. It says they that wait on the Lord, you get stronger. Listen to what he says. He says, now, after you've done this, the peace of God shall keep or garrison your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then, while you're waiting, here's your most difficult task. This is the thing that solidifies your waiting process. It is the maturity and discipline of your mind. The three things that are the most indisciplined in a human being are the mind, the tongue, and the eyes. Those are the three things you can't control. You try, but you can't. The eyes go wherever they want. Look at whoever they want, even though you shouldn't look. The tongue slips because it's so wet. It slips all the time. And you say things you shouldn't have said. Then you even lie and say, well, I didn't mean to say that. Yes, you did. And then the mind. Some of you are sitting right there thinking right now, how would it be to punch the pastor in the mouth? I wish he'd get somewhere and sit down. Don't feel bad. My mind does that. I'm sitting there counseling a person, and after about 15 minutes, I'm done. And I'm sitting there, and I got my pen writing notes. And I think, how would it feel to take this pen and just stick it right in their ear? Now, I'm not talking about Bethel people now. I'm talking about strangers. And we all do that. We have indisciplined minds. They just run all over the place. You know, you look at people, and you wonder, you know, you do. So Paul says, you look at couples and say, how they wind up with them? He says, here's what you must do while you wait. See, we've been trained to think that waiting is a non-participatory activity, that it's something that we just do by osmosis. You just wait. I'm waiting. No, here's what Paul says. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy, first person active, think on these things. So while I'm waiting for the promise, let me show you. Let me show you. Hebrews 10, 35 says, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now again, the direct exegesis of this passage speaks to a specific relational issue. But because the Bible is vast, and Paul said all of it is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, you and I can extract from this that while we're waiting on God to fulfill the promise, and the promise doesn't have to be specific. You don't have to go around saying, I got a specific promise from God. The promise can be general from the word of God. For example, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. God didn't say that to a specific person. It's to all believers. Now, you can say God said to me he was going to supply my need. Yes, he did, but he also said it to me. Okay? So while I'm waiting for that to happen, he says you need patience so that you can wait on that promise. See? Now, what's the question we ask when we have that promise that God shall supply all my need? How and when? Why? Because we need to be in control. That's the how. If I know how, then I'll be all right because I'll know what to look for if I know how. So God now has to say to you, all right, get up in the morning, go down to Broad and Chestnut, wait on the southeast corner of Broad and Chestnut, be there at 9:15 sharp, and I'm going to have somebody come up to you in a green coat with red patent leather shoes who's going to have a tweed bag. They're going to reach in that tweed bag and pull out a black wallet. In the black wallet will be green hundreds. They're going to give you 35 of them, but you have to be there at 9:15, not 9:13, not 9:14, not 9:16. You have to walk up to that corner at 9:15, and you'll get $3,500. You will kill yourself. You'll wait one block away so you could be standing on that corner at 9:15. You'll look at everybody walking by. And God, with a sense of humor, will send 13 people by with that, with all the clothes on, but not the bag. Because you have your how. And how means I'm in control. Because I know how. But see, when God says, I'm going to meet your need, go on about your business. Live your life. Do whatever you planned on doing. Go ahead. I'm going to meet your need. And out of nowhere, somebody walks up to you and says, praise the Lord. The Lord told me to give that to you. You didn't know how. You didn't know when. All you knew was what. And so Paul says, while I'm waiting, I think good thoughts. Don't let the devil fill your mind with negativity. Don't let the devil make you give up and wonder, oh, I'm doing everything I can do. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because you're not doing Philippians 4. You're not thinking on good things. You're not trusting in the Lord's will. You don't look back at the hope. He already brought you through something before. You're not on the street. You're not in the intensive care unit. He has already proven to you how good and how faithful he is. Now he's saying, I want you to learn to wait. And while you're waiting, just give me some praise. Get caught up in the praise. And then the other stuff seems dim. So he says, you have need. He says, listen, in verse 36, you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. This is a very good passage. For he's saying the promise is connected to your obedience. See there? The promise is locked up by disobedience. After you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now, the Bible uses the term yet a little while. We don't know what the little while is. So there's a power in waiting. We discussed Abraham. We discussed Moses. And we came to the conclusion that God makes us wait to show us what's in us. We aren't ready for what we think we're ready for. For example, you might sit there today and say, I'm ready to get married, but you can't cook. And I'm not trying to be facetious. How are you going to be married and not be able to cook? You might say, brother, I'm ready for a wife, but you don't have a job and you're still living at home with your mother. Where are you going to bring your wife into your mother's house? You have to wait until certain things are put together. But I can always get a pre-cooked meal. It'd be all right. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus makes a statement about the power of waiting. This statement, he ties into an end time teaching. In Luke 21, verse 5 says, "And as some spake of the temple, he was adorned, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. He said, as for these things which you behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things come to pass? Jesus said, take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draws near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, like now, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, like now. And there shall be great earthquakes in various places, like now, famines, pestilences, fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you," not us, "delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all of your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed by parents, brothers, kinsfolks, and friends. And some of you they shall cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish." Watch this. "In your patience, possess ye your soul." I read this verse, and as my nature is, to do the etymology on patience and realizing that this word here that Jesus gives means stand fast. It means in your persistence. It means in your ability to hold on to what you know. I began to contemplate this, and I looked at the passage, and it had an extra descriptive word. It said cheerful expectation.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, The Power of Waiting, or the program number 12518A. If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Sisters Pursuing Adonai Women's Ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church invites all women to join them for a Journey with the King Women's Service on Friday, February 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. Come out for an intimate time of worship and hear an impactful message from Bethel's women's pastor, Crystal Mance. Don't miss this special gathering that is designed to equip and prepare you for your life's journey with the King. It's taking place Friday, February 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Call 215-885-2585 for more information or visit betheldeliverance.org.